I guess the reason for choosing this topic or the scripture verses, and I was running ahead of myself, is a few weeks ago I preached on the sacrament of Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper. So I decided it's only fair to give baptism, the other sacrament, a good sermon. So that's what I did. The Westminster Confession of Faith explains baptism is doctrinally defined for Presbyterians through the following statement, written in 1647. It says, "Baptism is a sacrament of the New Testament, ordained by Jesus Christ, not only for the solemn admission of the party baptized into the visible church, but also is unto us a sign and seal of the covenant of grace of our engrafting into Christ. It is through the power of the Holy Ghost that people are regenerated or become Christians, not through any superstitious magic found in the water. We are to walk in newness of life through our obedience to Jesus Christ. The sacrament of baptism is but once to be administered to any person." When we consider the two sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, we are reminded and experience grace which comes from the Holy Spirit of God. I've shared this during the communion sermon a little bit, but one of the greatest privileges of being a minister is knowing that the Spirit of Christ is present at the table. To feel His presence is so important. And I think with baptism, the holy waters, sacramental waters of baptism, it's also another great privilege for a minister to officiate that to either an infant or an adult. You know, grace can be witnessed through the beauty of water baptism, but as the Westminster Confession of Faith says, that, you know, don't attach anything superstitious about it, and I would say like abracadabra, hoodoo or voodoo with it. We don't do that. You know, it's just not done. The only thing this ritual says, it's to be done in a true biblical and spiritual meaning. And so that is something we must think about when we see baptism. A person who is baptized receives salvation by faith through the grace of God. We discover grace upon realizing that God's love is available. And guess what? Regardless of our wrongdoings, you know, God is not us, thank the Lord, because we would automatically throw stones if somebody did wrong. God is much more gracious than that. And you know the root word for gracious? It's grace, in fact, to tell you the truth. Grace is God's love given to us whether we deserve it or not. And baptism is not to be taken lightly. Some people say, "I don't need it." But let me tell you what, as we continue in the sermon, if you read it in the scripture, you will see how high emphasis that our Lord put baptism. Baptism stands at the beginning of our faith journey, established as an eternal covenant with God, and that God claims us as His own. God made this covenant of grace with us, which is rooted in eternity. We are to be baptized as mandated and commanded by Christ through the promise given by God. Interesting person mentioned here was Noah. And we know Noah's experience, don't we? Noah was rescued from punishment to be removed from a wicked world. Out of faith, Noah built an ark. And that was the biggest boat ever constructed, I would say. Just as in baptism, we are saved by faith through and by the grace of God. Noah was able to enter the ark because God declared him righteous. In the same way, we can enter the ark of the new covenant through God's pleasure. It's found in Jesus Christ. And you know, to give Noah a pat on the back, Noah did something that took a lot of courage. I don't know if you know this, and I'm sure some of you do, that ark was built out in the middle of nowhere in a desert area. So no wonder people were ridiculing him because he was not near any big body of water. And I'm sure there were little snide remarks of, "Well, what are you doing?" You know, and you know, like that, waiting on the water to come. Well, they didn't realize this, but water was going to come out. Because in those days, rain was not, there was no such thing as what we know as rain. The moisture came out of the ground. It was only when the flood hit did it come out of the skies, the heavens opened up. So that was something new. And I'm sure those people in those antediluvian days were saying, wow, what is this coming out of the sky? Well, they found out pretty soon, didn't they? But Noah and his family, well, they were all eight of them, went into the ark. But you know something interesting here? It does not say anything in the book of Genesis that God forbidded all those other people not to enter too. They didn't want to enter. They rejected what God offered Noah in the form of rescue, which we would call grace today. Think about that. They brought on their own demise because they did not believe that God could save Noah or the rest of the world. So they had nobody to blame but themselves. But it would have been horrible being in that ark after God sealed it up and those people banging on the door wanting to get in after that water started going up to their nose. You know, it would have been terrible. I can just imagine those eight people inside of that ark hearing those voices outside. But they became believers when they were about ready to drown. You know, baptism is a demonstrative act acknowledging that our past sins are cleansed forever by God. I don't know how many people through the years have come to me with a guilt trip because something they did umpteen years ago that doesn't matter anymore. They remind me of back in the medieval times when those monks would take whips and flagellate their backs because they wanted to feel the suffering of Christ through their sins and everything. You don't need that. You don't need to have a guilt trip every time you turn around. Why? The grace of God is there with it. It eliminates all that. But guess what? We like to pick at it like we have a scab and we won't let it aside. Put it aside. It's like somebody came to me one time and she was just upset. She said, I don't know if I'll ever live a good Christian life. I've been divorced. I said, what are you talking about? God still loves you. All because there's a certificate that says you're no longer married doesn't mean you're an inferior second-class citizen. So don't allow a lot of things to get in your way and God. Don't let other people tell you that you're just not worthy. God is the one who makes us worthy. Don't allow others to try to give you a low self-esteem because that can happen to all of us. And you know what? We don't need that, do we? We've got enough going on without having somebody sitting, pointing their finger and telling us things that we don't need to know, you know, like that. But, you know, a person, as I said, receives salvation by grace alone. And, you know, God made this covenant of grace with us. And you know what? It's rooted in eternity. We are, as I said, we are to be baptized as mandated and authorized by Christ, as promised by God. And in essence, baptism emphasizes something that we don't hardly talk about anymore, called obedience. Obedience. A lot of us act like nice little rebels, don't we? We just like to rebel against what God says. And you know what? By rebelling, it can get us into trouble. It can get us into trouble by implying that, you know, our faith doesn't matter anymore. Our faith does matter, and it's faith based upon God's grace and promise. And we look forward to eternal life without punishment of death. We are assured of deliverance likewise as Noah was saved. The waters of the flood cleansed the earth of the evil, but the waters did not cleanse the human race. It destroyed them. Likewise, the waters of baptism symbolizes God's method to seal us with His grace, who is our spiritual eternal ark. It is the seal of Christ upon us when we are baptized. Through baptism, our faith is well grounded and centered upon the Lord. Well, you say, well, okay, my mom and dad had me baptized as a baby. I don't remember it. Did you ever think about this? You don't need to remember it. It's through faith that they had you baptized. It's through faith that you were received into the church. It is through faith that you acknowledge Christ as Lord. So you don't need to have remembered it. And some people may if they were one at 2 or 3 years old, but you don't need to have a remembrance. Just remember, your parents loved you so much along with God that they wanted to establish a covenant for you and allowing you, the parents and the congregation, that idea of helping raise you in the Lord. That is love from both God and parent. And grace paves the way for people to admit their need for God. And you know something interesting? God comes to us. We don't go to God. I was at a funeral one time about 12, 13 years ago. I wasn't doing the funeral. It was at a cousin's funeral. And he came from one of those non-denominational churches and everything. He had a big toothy smile, you know, like that. And after he was finished, he came walking around and had a real nice tailor-made suit on. I was envious a little bit of that. And he came shaking my hand, and he came up to me and said, "Brother, have you come to Jesus yet?" I says, "No, I haven't. Jesus came to me." And he looked at me like a wire-haired fox terrier with his head turned sideways when I said that to him. And I know I was being flippant with him. And later on I told him I was just sort of playing cat and mouse with him like that. But God makes the effort to come to us. Did you ever think about that? That is something that we all can rejoice in. And so God, you know, some people really have that in reverse, but it doesn't happen. God is not some egotistical tyrant in heaven desiring us to grovel at his feet, but opens the doors of love before us. I mentioned a nice word called obedience a few moments ago. There's another word that doesn't happen anymore. Have you ever heard the word reverence? Are we reverent toward God as we should? You know, used to when you'd come into church, you acted reverent. I'm not saying anybody's irreverent in here, but do we really prioritize reverence toward God these days? I don't think a lot of us do that as much as we should, but we should be reverential. But that doesn't mean just in these four walls. It means all the time be reverent toward God. So by being obedient to God, is be a follower of Christ in baptism. God, through Christ, commanded us to be baptized. Of course, some faith traditions view baptism with an assortment of various theological doctrines. Well, that is another sermon unto itself, and the sky won't fall in if the subject's not addressed this morning. But I will say this, I perform baptisms in different modes. I've immersed, I've sprinkled, I've poured. I may do water hosing next. You know, there's various modes out there. But you just think about that. It's not the amount of water, it's the amount of faith, whether it was your parents dedicating you, and or later on, if you're an adult and you get baptized, it's the faith which matters. I mean, I could take you down to Lake Okeechobee and dunk you 5,000 times and all that water is not going to do any good if you don't have faith behind it all. That is what counts, that God's grace tells us that if we love God, we will want to be baptized. It isn't the amount of water, as I said, but it's God's grace which counts. Without God's grace via the Holy Spirit who gives us faith, as I said, baptism won't mean, it won't be worth a dime. God's love provides us the way to reconcile completely to Him as found in Jesus Christ. Once we get attached to God, or God attaches Himself to us, I should say, there's no way that God will let go. It says, I think in the Gospel of St. John, that God will never allow His hand to ever let go of us. We may struggle, we may try to squirm, but God will never, never, never allow that to happen. So we have hope in God. And you know, Our spiritual bridge is built upon Jesus Christ, who gives us the assurance of something that is firm and solidly built upon the eternal grace of God. God will never cancel it out. I got a letter the other day informing me, but one of my credit cards had been canceled. I hadn't used it in 8 or 9 years. And why is it that's a double-edged sword? If you use your credit card too much, your credit rating goes down. But if you don't use it enough, they say it's canceled. But God does not cancel with us. Oh, of course, sometimes we neglect God, but that doesn't mean that God will veto us or anything like that. God still loves us, even when we have those moments where we don't feel close to God anymore. But as I said this in another sermon, God never moves. We're the one who moves from God. So that is the importance of having our faith in an inventory continually to allow us to grow in with God through Jesus Christ. You know, I mentioned my caladiums the other day. Well, I bought a palm tree yesterday out there, so it's going to be required to water too. But what I'm saying is, you, like with plants and flowers and vegetables, you need to take care of them. What happens if you don't take care of your vegetable garden? You're going to have weeds pop up, aren't you? And if it's flowers or something, you're going to have likewise, and they may wilt and just die. So we have to always continue to be vigilant about our faith. So many people have just a lukewarm faith. Reminds me of that church in the book of Revelation called Laodicea. Said in that, it said they were neither cold nor hot, just lukewarm. And do you like to wash your hands in lukewarm water? I don't care for it. Now, unless I turn the water on hot first, I'll turn it down to lukewarm. But when you're starting out, you kind of like it a little warm, don't you? So a lot of us have a faith which is lukewarm. We need to have a more of a warm faith. And that takes by nurturing it, by continual nurturing it. You can't live on yesterday's faith. You have to start anew every day. And it's not that difficult. With God's help, all things are possible. Should we be baptized as adults if you haven't been baptized as an infant? Well, yes, unequivocally, yes, yes, yes. Because by not being obedient to God and shunning baptism, we forsake the joy of God's eternal love. Ever think about that? We forsake the joy of having God's eternal life before love before us. That is something we forget about. Being a Christian is more than just having your name on the membership records or being tallied up for the presbytery to charge us $21, you know, for every year like that. And by the way, presbytery, I voted against raising it, but my vote was lost in it. But think about that. We need to all be baptized. Not like it said, you know, like the Westminster says, not for superstitious purposes, but out of obedience. That is the importance of baptism. And be baptized and be forever in gratitude to God. No one will go wrong in that. Let us pray. O Lord, on this Sunday, and Almighty God, You have given Your only Son, Jesus, to be for us a sacrifice for our sins. As we have looked at baptism today, we thank You for establishing that sacrament. It is as meaningful as the Lord's Supper. And we thank You, O Lord, that grace is felt in it. Give us grace to receive thankfully the fruits of Your redeeming work and to follow daily in Your blessed steps through our holy life. We pray this in Christ's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.